Greetings, adventurers. I am your dungeon master, Michael DeMauro. My pronouns are he, him. With me this week, Timothy Lanning.
Hey everybody, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My pronouns are he, him.
Jennifer Cheek.
Hello everyone, my pronouns are she, her.
And special guest, David Stewart.
Hello everybody, my pronouns are he, him. Michael, could we get another take of that?
One more time.
No, that was perfect the first time. Unfortunately, David has fired both Mika and Mike Bachman, and he is doing a full coup right now.
He's taking over D&D podcast.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to stop him.
It's a friendly coup. We're into it.
For people that don't know, David is our editor, producer, yada, 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 many, many, many hats. Since Mika and Bachman are out of town, and since Michael's are traveling on their normal night, we decided to do our very first campaign to mailbag.
Woo! Whoa!
Yeah.
And we're like, what if we have David on? We haven't had David on for these. And get some of his behind the scenes insight. And obviously, anytime we can put him in front of the quote unquote camera, it's fun. So David, what's up? How you been? How's the fam?
All doing well. What's up? Just editing.
Hell yeah.
24/7.
That's it.
24/7. Got that live show editing happening.
That video coming, right?
It's coming along. I was telling him earlier that I am 20 minutes in to the live show video. I expect it to be done hopefully by the end of this weekend, if not very early next week. So we'll have the live show video plus the special Bachman video as well.
It's gonna be a real treat. I love this.
Do you guys I got some questions from the audience.
Let's hear it.
Nice.
If that's okay.
Yeah, how about you read us?
That's a cool idea. We should do that.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna ask some questions, and some might be thematically similar, and some might also be trying to trick Michael into giving away too much of the plot, so to speak.
Uh-oh.
So we'll do our best to avoid those and to use the questions not just to be answering, but conversation topics. But I like this first one from Lefisa. What would each of your current characters think of your previous characters if they somehow met? And what kind of place would they have the potential to cross paths? See, this one is like tangential to like six other ones that we got. Meaning, like, yo, what up? When we see these
characters, and I feel like this also because Michael and David. Well, Michael, you do play characters, I guess, but I feel like this could just be open to like what characters would you like to see interact, right?
Yeah, and it also doesn't have to be like, oh, well, of course, Rowan is this old because of blah blah blah. It's theoretical.
It's more just Rowan is the one that popped into my brain, and I feel like Celine would be furious at Rowan at all times.
That is true.
Hate her.
Use the coaster. Get your feet off the coffee table.
But also, she would have a tiny, tiny crush inside, but also be like, "You're so annoying." Well, and Rowan would just be like, "What?"
the pull of someone so unfettered by society versus
someone
so fettered.
And it's like a person, and someone who's like, I feel like this is like a thing that I notice, like people who are like uptight, like if you're not living life the same way as them, they get so mad at you.
Oh,
and it's like, what I'm doing has nothing to do with you. Like, what's your deal? And it's because they see it as an indictment of their life. And that is what Celine would be like. She's breaking all the rules.
and without any consequences?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
This is against the rules.
What would Rourke think of Lonnie?
I feel like they would get along so well.
Oh my god, they'd be so good friends. Like, yeah.
They would,
really curious
they would
what
like
Mika
accidentally
would say, but
like
yeah.
run away together,
they're,
I think.
They're like so similar that it, like, obviously they're very different, but they have a core chaos gremlin to
like,
them.
Like, I feel like Rourke is like very psyched to go to a graveyard, and like Lonnie's not like specifically psyched about the graveyard, but she would be like, "All right, you're into this."
Lonnie's like neutral for everything, whereas Rourke is excited for
anything. Yeah.
Yeah, she would be like, "Why are you worried about going to this graveyard?"
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's that funny thing of when you kind of like look at certain characters and it's like, yes, they are completely different night and day, but they sort of have this core to them that vibes well. I think, you know, Toby and Chuck is, I was thinking, because I read these earlier.
Chuck and Pick him up, he'd be so small. He'd carry even a baby, be yours.
Who's talking to me? Toby likes people, and Chuck isn't really, you know, your stereotypical, I work in a church cleric.
Right, right. No, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, so I think they would like each other just because Toby likes a lot of people.
Yeah.
Chuck would probably have odd feelings with him being a wizard, an extremely powerful wizard.
Yeah.
I'm personally giggling to myself thinking about Tom, Harper, Chuck, and Toby all hanging out together.
Like, yeah, yeah. Harper would just be trying to control the situation and get mad.
That'd be a wild one shot, Tim, where it's just you and me. Or Michael can run it. Michael can all run Tim's. It, but it's just you doing all the characters.
Oh, my God. Somehow, through the magic of editing, record it five times. Yeah. And like,
you could even run it yourself. That way it'd just be 100% you.
Timcast, baby.
Timcast. Oh, like back in the day.
I don't fucking need you. I think in the back of my mind, it's probably a quote-unquote weakness of mine. I think I make characters that my characters would be chill with. Because what I like to do tropes, and I like to do more or less normal people.
Yeah.
Even though they exist in a weird
world.
You like
playing dudes.
I like playing dudes.
Toby is probably the least dude.
He's not much of a dude. Tom was not really, he was a different.
We barely knew him.
We barely knew him, you know, for sure.
What would Chuck think of Harper?
Young Harper, he'd think was annoying.
I feel like he'd want to kick his ass.
At first, Chuck would think, oh, hoity-toity King Harper, but then he would be.
Excuse me, Your Highness.
They would get drunk and do karaoke at that bar in Paler's Hope that I've talked about before. They would obviously bond immediately.
Yeah, I think there's like a little Harper dad energy in Chuck.
Yes.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, no, that was so fun to do. What if I do it again, but different and different enough? Because, you know, we very rarely interacted with Harper with his kids. So I liked that. So I definitely wanted to like explore that again. And I knew I wanted to play a Chuck-like character for years.
Mm-hmm. He's literally been talking about it for years.
Yeah, yeah. Like, at first he was like a half-orc. Well, I was going to get a DM's Guild warlord, but all of them didn't really fit, and I didn't want to have to, like, wrestle Michael and be like, listen, I have switched to a third different warlord because everyone said this one was the most broken.
This is the right one.
This is the right one. No, and also, I didn't like any of them, and 5th edition doesn't quite carry the same power structure that warlords can do, and the action economy gang. But
someone brought up the name Bananas Foster in the chat, and this does not have to do with the question, but I am laughing thinking about Screech encountering Bananas Foster. Yeah. I'd be like, what is this disgusting thing?
Yeah, I think we have to give it up to Bachman, who has the most number of characters that would absolutely fucking hate each other.
They really would.
That is such compliment, you know, like,
they would kill each other.
Jesus Christ.
If you locked them all in a room together, like, they would just all be dead.
Like, the anxiety of all of Jennifer's characters would be, like, directly, like, the same vibe, except for they would explode each other.
Rowan didn't really have anxiety at all.
Right, but, like, Eludra-Selene.
Oh, Eludra-Selene combo would. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like Eludra and Selene would, like, be nice to each other, but would talk shit about each other behind each other's backs. Like, I think Eludra would, like, go back and, like, talk shit about Selene.
Right,
because
you're, like, new money, so to speak. Like, oh, this is a...
Yeah, or just, I think that Eludra would be, like, just think she's, like, annoying and, like, got a stick up her ass.
I would say that's true. Any other, maybe even NPCs or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, what about Ash, Asha Yara, and Celine?
Oh, now that, I feel like they might actually get along.
So I think they wouldn't, just because of your stereotypical period piece.
Oh, that,
where like only two women are allowed to be friends at any given
there
moment.
There can be only one head bitch in this room, so. Celine is not the head bitch, though. Like, she kind
yeah.
of,
no,
I think she is.
I think Celine would show Asha Yara her belly, like, immediately.
Oh, 1,000%.
Right. She would be very taken by Asha Yara and her amazing majesty.
That's a good point. I think my previous expectations 100% wrong. I think Celine would try to do exactly 1% of resistance and then grab to Asha Yara like a goddamn booty.
I would become her,
of like
evil.
Oh my god, an authoritarian figure that can that I don't need to think for myself anymore.
Like, truly, we cannot allow Celine to meet an Asha Yara type because she will become her minion and it will be bad. I'll be her a familiar just going around doing
your
annoying
salacious
shit.
Crumb.
Yeah, exactly. I would be Asha Yara's salacious crumb.
Michael's writing all sorts of notes right now.
I do think about what characters of Nika, what would Nika have to do to be friends with Roz in any, you know, outside of time and place?
Would it, cause see, I feel like Rourke would be fine with Roz.
Yeah. But she wouldn't because Nika doesn't want to.
That's true. That's
which
true.
Is fair, by the way.
Right. Nika would find a reason.
She would find a reason to hate her.
I mean, she said the same thing with Lonnie. There's no reason. She just
does.
You know, like we've said before, we're a podcast first about actual people playing Dungeons and Dragons, so you're totally allowed to be like, no, fuck her. I don't give a fuck. That doesn't make any sense. The player hates this. That's like, that's meta emotioning. Like, eat my ass. We could talk about this one forever. Thank you so much to Lufisa. I have a new question.
Okay.
Yes in My Backyard asks, how is Thrifty and the players enjoying a much smaller, more focused in location campaign? Is there any antsiness to Globetrot? Of course, I assume it'll expand out sometime.
I feel like it's been nice to just kind of stay in one area, honestly, to like dig into it. Because we still keep finding, like, there's still so many areas in the town we haven't even like really explored. Like the tower, we haven't like
fully. We can't go there.
It's scary. Who knows how many more tunnels there are?
It's true.
So many.
Like, we haven't really been to the temple very much. We haven't been to the rich dude's house where Screech is staying very much. There's so many places.
It's like a fortress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a military guy. I'm super digging it. I want to dig into the town even more. But you know, I'm sure at some point.
Yeah, and the most recent episode, I even like mentioned, like, do we leave? And it felt bad to say.
I know, I know. I'm not ready.
Not ready. Yeah, I mean, I
love these tunnels full of ants.
I love doing a D&D in a single location. You know, like, yeah. I loved the game I ran with some friends where we played only in Waterdeep. That was super fun. You know, Rhymeford is much, much smaller, so it does get interesting, and I'm super curious how, like, hard it is for you, Michael, to come up with new stuff. And I know sometimes I feel as a quote-unquote performer, I'm like, are we doing the same thing again? Or are we kind of looping and yada, yada, yada? But it's been a lot of fun. And I really like when, as a player and a performer and creator, you can kind of like focus on a small specific thing like that.
Well, because I just, again, like, I feel like there's the world that we're in is still very like rich, even though it's small. It feels to me like this is like a Hobbiton situation. Like there's right. like, there's like things like you go outside of the little town and there's the bear guy and his little hut and, you know, there's just a lot of, I get the sense that there being lots of things to explore in this space.
Totally.
Don't tell the players this, but really what I'm trying to do is make them love Rhymeford so that I can threaten Rhymeford.
I mean, that's a really good idea. And
Michael, did you mean to tell us that?
Well, no, I mean, what? It comes up all the fucking time. And I feel like, you know, I try to say it as Tim. I'm like, Chuck does not want to do any of this.
Yeah.
But also, this seems like such a fucking horrible idea. That being said, I want to have a fun, action-packed thing. But do you guys realize what you're saying? Can there be, like, dude, can we do a middle ground? What the fuck are you saying?
You gotta know. You should be hardcore for your freaking town, boy.
Yeah. It is interesting when you play with maniacs, and they're like, fuck it. It's Michael's job to figure out how we're not going to all die. And I'm like,
but like it is, I mean, like Selena's great. She's like, that's not their town, and right. and
but Rourke, everyone you know will be murdered.
And Rourke is wild.
Yeah, Rourke is wild. But like everyone would like, because you have your entire family.
Yeah, I got issues. I've got problems. I mean, but the Rhymeford's existence is not like that's separate. It's connected, but like kind of separate from my family.
Well, yeah, but like anything that threatens Rhymeford will threaten Selene ipso facto. Oh, so Celine's gonna leave the party?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it does not necessarily follow because Celine has not fully thrown herself in with the group.
Right, that is true. There's an infinite possibility space, so and it's good to voice those things.
And she is trying to weigh saving her own skin versus causing problems for her family back in the capital.
You hate Rhymeford.
I feel like Celine is actually like liking Rhymeford.
We haven't left your neighborhood in like 30 years. Like,
yeah, and I didn't really like have many friends before. I definitely see Selena as being very like a late bloomer. Let's say that she did a lot of school,
just from lack of exposure.
Yeah, so. Yeah, she was in the academy for all that time, and she was working very hard. So
it is going to be super fun though when we finally do a thing in the capital yeah. or something oh, yeah. like that. It's oh, yeah. gonna. That'll feel real different, which will be neat.
Yeah, and this sort of touches on some other questions, so apologies for not reading said other questions. You know, that people are asking, like, how did this... let me just ask it. Let me find it real quick. David will take care of it. So. how much of the... D. Martin G., what up? How much of the world was planned by the players via Episode Zero, or did the players make fun characters and Thrifty made the world around them? Who is everyone's favorite Episode Zero character? Yeah, so Michael made the world, and, you know, I don't know how much of it you made before that, but I think all of us in our back end were, like, shooting for, this is my vague idea, and as Michael tells us more things, we can Tetris piece our move. Like, okay, does it make sense that, you know, Chuck is this?
Or yeah.
The vague idea of Chuck can exist anywhere. But as, like, Michael told us more stuff, you know, like, okay, here it comes
well,
down.
But Episode Zero was the pre.
Oh, that episode.
I think that's what they're talking about. I think they're talking about the...
Oh, duh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, with Bo.
Right, with
I heard
characters.
Session Zero, not Episode
yeah,
Zero.
Yeah, the
are
pre,
because
oh, that's gotcha. Where we kind of did, like, lay the grounds. But, I mean, Michael, I'm assuming you knew somewhat.
We got together ahead of time, and we talked about, like, vibe and things like that. And, but yeah, I mean, I think it was, you all your characters from that Session Zero definitely informed how the world is built. And, those people are still all, I mean, Ratma is the
yeah.
bartender.
And Bo is the, yeah, Michael told us that these characters.
Yeah. Cause I initially named the character just Big Bo, like B-O. And then I think. Or like we talked like to the side, and we were like, what could the name be? I'm like, I'm not like Beauregard, like something stupid.
We knew that those characters would be quote unquote existing, and Michael was even like, you know, maybe one of you is going to be the emperor. Who knows?
like, of course, this the big meat hunk.
Yeah, but we didn't plan much around that because we didn't really know what, as players, we didn't really know what episode zero was going to be per se.
Right.
Like Michael did, but like tell us the general vibe, but we didn't really know, you know, a lot of the specifics.
But we did together talk about the setting in general.
Yes.
And like,
yes.
Yeah. Like how much connection to the previous campaign, because like we've talked about a billion times, like we wanted it to be accessible to people. And not make it so you had to listen to 400 something episodes to jump in. Mm-hmm. We also didn't want to completely like abandon all the years of work that we put in, you know,
and
improving we'd put into it.
And there's like very successful certain voice actor based Twitch streams that have proven like, yeah, you just do this and then you do that. And then like, you don't even really need to. Make it explicit, and if you try your best, and if you're smart about it, like I think the live show is a good example of like doing something that in your mind you would have assumed is inaccessible, but it turns out like the concept works. The worst thing you can do is do an in media res, right? Like it's as hot and sticky as a slorblorp. When when you're reading a book and they say like that and they haven't told you what a slorblorb is and you're immediately drawn in.
And you're like, I love this. I love when you don't tell me.
I don't know what a slorblorb is, but I'm excited to find out.
But I know they're hot and sticky.
The thing is, like, I'm like laughing, but I do feel that way. Like, I love when they just like don't like stop and say, this is what this means.
Oh, George R. Martin, king shit.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my character from episode zero. And I cannot wait to see what his deal is. If he's dead, I'm like, that makes sense.
Wait, who was he again?
He was just a douchey sorcerer.
What was his name?
I don't know. I can find it in a second. I'm sure it started with a T. While you guys were dressed up as sheep, he was inside drinking and eating because he was a divine soul sorcerer. So he was basically, I was hiding and then I would come out.
Okay.
So he was like a religious guy. So
I'm
hoping he has some big part of the church. But I also don't remember his name. I should look it up so that when rumors go, I'm like,
Durian Brexley Shire. Tim,
Durian is your character. Okay, Shire. I remember him.
That's thank you, Tater Tot 9.
Forget.
Michael, I'm going to ask you this one, and is a tight-lipped zone, so you do answer it as you will.
Yes.
Sure.
Joseph McKinney asks, so last campaign ended pretty crazy and ended up tying up some loose ends. My question is for Thrifty, and it is, are we ever going to hear mention of Tower of Grey or the Atlanta Falcons, even just in passing?
Boy, I bet we will. Boy, I bet they come up somehow. Maybe at a library somewhere. I don't know if we have any real library goers in this group.
I think Chuck would like libraries, but he would get frustrated by them. He likes places that have comfy couches, but things of that nature. Good friend of the... Any other thoughts, Michael?
No, I mean, just we definitely thought about how many years in the future to make this and things like that. And that, you know, because...
I like that I have no idea. And I'm stressed out about it every day.
It is some unknown number of years.
Maybe. Don't worry about it.
-8. It's in the past. Mike Urban asks, Michael has done such a wonderful job crafting the dark future of was once Drunkeros. Well, it's a different area, but what you're saying is correct.
Well, yeah.
And we're just getting the characters in the bigger world. What do each of you want to see this new world outside of what you've already seen?
Well, I feel like that kind of connects into, like, we're happy exploring Rhymeford now, but we all know it is going to be extremely fun to get to the capital and, like, see more of the, like, OT's, like, training zone, meet more of those
people.
I'm
kind of excited to be in the quote-unquote hinterlands where
totally
we're not
in-between.
In, like, a town and we're not in, or, like, a town for which, you know, Michael, as you mentioned, that we explicitly care for to the extent, like, we can't do anything risky or else everyone here is going to die. So, like, I've always been horny for a home base. I really want, you know, I love the idea of us just being the wandering adventurers. I'm super curious if there's any way to sort of make that make sense, if that makes sense. Because right now, we're not really a D&D adventuring party per se, right?
No.
Not a stereotypical one. But obviously, there's a million different published D&D adventures that are very similar to this. And there's no right or wrong way to start your party. But it kind of dovetails into, like, how do we kind of transition into the whole, like, okay, you guys are, rat catchers now. You got to fucking figure out what you're supposed to do, which is a derogatory term for adventurers. That is maybe used outside of Matt Colville's properties. I'm not sure.
I feel like right now is, like, very interesting, at least as far as, like, Spleen's character progression, because, yeah, she's not really part of the group yet, but she's hanging around you guys, but she's not, like, fully there, or she's not, like, fully deconstructed yet. So I feel like I've been trying to balance, like, obviously I want to eventually get the character to be in with the group, but I don't want it to be too easy and not make sense.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to balance that and make it be somewhat realistic.
Yeah. It's like, we wouldn't quote unquote take a quest. That being said, we would do the exact same quest if the language was tweaked a little bit, right?
Right, right. If the motivation lined up correctly.
Instead of the farmer being like, I'm paying 30 gold to kill the ants in the tunnel, it's like, obviously what happened, you know?
Maybe if Celine just gets healed once, then you'll realize magic is actually pretty good, and he'll be cool with it.
I think magic is good. That's Screech. I think magic is good. I'm not convinced that other people should be trusted with it.
Well, I think it's still true. Like, if you get, because I mean, it's kind of come up of where,
because I feel like she's already benefited from it, from other people doing it right to now, her, and she's still not fully there yet.
What Jennifer has said in the past is that right now she's in the lie to yourself zone, and Celine has had the dialogue of, like, well, all right, I guess if there's good magic, there's a gray area. But she still needs to be pushed a little bit more.
Just think of Selene as that person, like that cool cousin that you like, but, like, has bad politics. But they're, like, kind of reasonable sometimes, and, like, maybe you can get through to them. Selene's actually more exactly like I was when I went to college. I'm right to be pilled. actually, I was much more ripe to be pilled than Celine is in the way I'm doing it. Mm. I think Celine's more resistant right now. Whereas I was like, well, that seems obviously wrong.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now let's take a quick adventuring break and hear a word from one of our sponsors. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts about being a kid. But as I got older, I wanted to watch out for all the sugar and empty carbs. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but with high protein and less sugar. I couldn't decide which flavor to try out, so I went for the variety pack to get a little taste of everything, including cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Each pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, and only 140 calories per serving. With Magic Spoon being high protein, keto friendly, gluten, grain, and soy free, what's not to love? My favorite was the fruity and peanut butter. It really hits the spot when I need something that's crunchy and delicious, and whenever I deserve a little treat. Go to magicspoon.com/greetings to grab a variety pack and try it today. Also, be sure to use our promo code GREETINGS at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/greetings and use code GREETINGS to get $5 off.
Being a large and handsome hero means more than crushing your enemies while defending the common folk. It means having a frank discussion with yourself about erectile dysfunction. I never go into battle without my trusty sword of radiant mercy. So why would I try to treat my ED without the aid of HIMS? I don't have time to leave the dungeon to schedule a doctor's appointment in order to treat my ED, and with HIMS, I don't have to. Through HIMS, you can access affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your camp or a couch. The process is simple and all online. Might as well be magic. They provide access to doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, brand names like Viagra, or even generic alternatives that are up to 95% cheaper, saving you a lot of gold. Would I have vanquished the arch lich of Scarlet Miasma if I didn't take a potion of major healing? Of course not. Each battle requires its own solution, and that of course includes your sexual health. Join me and hundreds of thousands of trusted HIMS subscribers and start your quest to vanquish your ED today. Start your free online visit today at HIMS.com/greetings. That's HIMS.com/greetings for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/greetings. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Cumbertonian asks, what was your favorite part of GeeklyCon, and how pumped are you that it's going to be in Rochester for the foreseeable future?
Oh, man. What a question.
I really enjoyed Rochester. I had such a good time.
It's a good little town.
I was obsessed with the bar, the Spirit Room. I went there like 3 different nights.
That place is rad.
It really was very cool. We on Saturday night, we went, and there was a drag show, and it was so fun, and it was mostly Geekly folks. And then there was karaoke. I feel like that was my favorite GeeklyCon moment.
Karaoke?
Yeah. It was
outside really... of GeeklyCon? Yikes.
But it was like all Geekly people
that is fair.
At the bar.
I think, you know what, that I zinged you, and now I'm going to do a quick reversal and be like, that's what's beautiful about GeeklyCon is the liminal,
exactly.
Spontaneous moments.
Mm.
And like truly, we really were like the majority of that bar at that time.
I won't get into the specifics of the humans' names or anything, but I was having a lunch and I sat with 2 people who I'd never met before, and they had just met the day before, and they were clearly wicked into each other and were like having the best time, and they were just like
sexually
so enthusiastic and so excited about everything, and they were having so much fun, and I was just like, so great.
You feel like a parent.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
I'm so happy for you. You're having fun.
I do feel like that is like the most gratifying part of it, like seeing the different people, like see their friends and like meet new people, and you know, people who'd never come before, seeing them having a really good time.
Yeah, right. And you know, we were talking about going into this one that we knew was going to be different, both from you know, scope and the place in history and you know, our quote unquote interesting times. So you know, I even purposely sort of like went into it a little bit different. Like, you know what? I'm going to purposely push myself weirdly, to be in my room alone more, or, you know, take a nap and stuff like that. Before I would try to, like, push myself hard and you know, it for no good reason. And I think I think the energy that a lot of people had kind of fit that. It very much felt like, obviously they were copying me. It was just, we were all doing similar things. I thought the energy very much lent itself to like a chiller vibe. And, touching on the being in Rochester, I think it was actually a blessing in disguise to be in this location when we were supposed to be in the other one, so that people could get the vibe of Rochester.
Yes.
Yeah.
First. And, you know, like if something bad happened, totally fine with being at this hotel forever, as long as they open their fucking pool.
that was the only sad part.
Second elevator.
Yeah, and a second elevator. Awesome. But the location, I mean, there was like tons of good places to eat. The cool bar was nearby. Like, yeah, lots of good places within walking distance. It was great. I liked Rochester.
There's like another more perfect hotel on the other side of town where it's like extremely walkable, but it was like $350 a night for a hotel room.
It was a good, it was a good happy medium of being near things and being affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, definitely the city, the environment was awesome. I spent a good chunk of a couple of days just wandering the city, taking lots of pictures. But the biggest, most special thing kind of ties into what Michael, you were saying, and that was watching folks who are typically, you know, inward come out of the shells once they've got that they realize they're in a you know, I don't want to say safe place, but it's a safe place, and they can be themselves and make connections. And it's kind of like, you know, when I'm around folks in there, I'm trying to, you know, push along. Come on, you can do it, you know.
Yeah.
Because when they do it and it clicks and that's how, you know, lifelong friendships begin, you know. It's so cool and special.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, meeting people who are very socially awkward and, you know, for the GeeklyCon, that's 98% of us, right? Like, not even in a derogatory sense, you know, it's sort of one of the reasons why it works, because we have the plethora of socially awkward where it's like, I'm socially awkward, let's get through it, and now we're actually having more fun, because if I was more aware, I would realize I'm in a meat body full of farts and blood, and maybe I don't want to be best friends. But, you know, talking to people that are quote-unquote stereotypically, like David was talking about, very reserved and stuff like that, and then talking to them at the end, where like, I was like, oh no, little lamb, I hope you have fun. And by the end of it, they're like, I'm a lifetime. This is so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was, especially like for our first one coming out of COVID times, I feel like it went really well.
Yeah.
Everyone was so good about like wearing their masks and like people being masked and getting their temperatures checked. Like, I think it, like everyone being respectful of each other also made the vibes very good. So,
and as far as we know, no one got COVID. So
clapping for the crew.
Yeah. You know, Oh my God.
Oh yeah. So huge. Yeah. And so we know of two cases of people who basically, you know, had COVID in the first couple of days, which means they most likely got it on their way.
Previously. 24-hour inoculation, which I guess is half.
But it didn't. Spread, like,
it didn't spread. I mean, I know lots of us were like testing and things like that. People were super awesome. You can run an event like this and not have it be a super spreader, theoretically.
Yeah.
I'm still like waiting to hear actually.
I mean, yeah. I think we did everything we could in the situation, and it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about it forever, but we shouldn't. Tater Tot Mr. Bever asks, what was the biggest editing challenge Spud Kim had to overcome?
I am so curious about this also, actually.
I think it's, I can't go into a specific episode or a specific detail, but I can definitely tell you when there is something huge and complex where there's a lot of things going on. Because again, typically I get like from Tuesday night or Wednesday morning until the following Monday to put it all together. So if there's a lot going on where I'm picturing there's like, you know, a lot of music, a lot of sound effects or complex story editing, say something comes up and I need to change it around a little bit. When that occurs, the biggest, not stress, but the biggest part is like, okay, this is going to be a big one. This is going to be an editing week.
Right. Like knowing what you're working with.
Yeah. Yeah. Where so, and again, you've got a very finite amount of time to do that with. And so it's just when that happens. But like, I mean, the folks here, you all are correct. Michael, especially, I love the challenge. I love it. When you throw them at me, I love it.
The job that I do for my day job is not the same, but so I do a lot of like graphic formatting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I just get so deep into it and I'm like messing with stuff and I'm like, I don't even know if anyone else is going to notice this or care about it. But I care about it and I'm digging into it deep and I would imagine it's a similar, like are there like little things you're like, I'm going to try this out and like see what this does. Or yes. Like,
yeah, that works. That doesn't work. Things like that. And also it's exactly what you're saying, Jennifer. There's so much in these episodes
that has to be taken out.
This is absolutely dog shit.
No one's going to know how there was something that happened to make this occur. Yeah. No one, totally. They won't know at all.
Yeah.
But in my head, and I know it, and of course I'll forget it a week later. But
but like you but, feel like the spirit possesses you, and it's like I have to like fix this because I feel like
yeah.
Well, I mean that's one of the things about editing that is so quote unquote thankless is like so much of what you're doing is not to be noticed, right?
Yeah,
like,
correct. You want it to not be noticeable.
Like when edit that, Tribulation Farce, we keep much more like casual, like talking atmosphere. And I'm like, my goal is to literally sound like there's zero editing.
Yeah,
right. And obviously, you're taking up a much bigger
thing. Because it's a different
flavor. But you're doing both. You're making the us sound like there's no editing. And then you're
putting
editing. Right,
right. And you're like doing, you want it to sound like when you're doing the enhancement editing of like adding sound effects and music. But yeah, not that there's like, this has been super edited.
Yeah, see, for like the Foaming Tankard series, what used to be the biggest produced, biggest editing, everything, you know, putting all those together. Well, with the new season of Greetings Adventures, it's coming up to that level because again, it's gotten a little, well, you know, a lot, like crisper and cleaner. And again, after we got through the first like 10 or so episodes and we got them caught, all the new people, and now we can loosen up a little bit. So it's perfect timing.
No, that's a great point.
To open up. So anyway, no, it's, but again, like I was saying earlier, it's, I enjoy the nice thing is when you have something you love to do, if you've got the bug, the passion for it, then, you know, I mean, that's the ideal people you want to work with. If they're passionate about what they're doing.
Well, and where like your drives can kind of like, you know, play on each other and
complement like, each other. Exactly.
The fact that we know that we have you editing things makes it so much easier for us to just like role play and like be in the moment and do what we need to do because we're not like having to stress about self editing.
Totally. We've said it a ton of times and. It's like just the fact of like doing quick math.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Be able to
like, what is 8 plus 3? Oh, fuck, like, thank Christ. So we can slow down and things of that nature.
Yeah. Like Monday's episode.
Yeah.
REV.
I mean, listen, it really is. It feels good to have an editor.
Yeah. It's a safe for for the cast. It's like a safety net, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It is scary. Like you're doing like improv, and it's like maybe I said a thing that makes zero sense. Right. Actually,
it's like the all of us are like walking and like holding on to each other to make sure we don't fall. But David's our net to make sure that even if we do, you know, he's there.
Mm. Yeah, finding if something doesn't work or if something might be – because if you're constantly recording, you all know this. When you're saying, going, sometimes you'll say things and, oh, gosh, I wish I didn't say that. Because you're in the moment. Or that joke failed.
Or even just like, this is unclear. Or like, I misremembered something from my character.
Exactly. Yeah.
This was like, I was confused for a second.
Right, and, our style is so stream of consciousness.
Or like, I forgot that the Theonite causes interference. Yeah. So that's why Celine has to go into the woods to talk to her boss.
Oh, see, this is like there's just like so many little things, and I always like laugh. It's like I feel like the listeners like remember the shit like more. I'm usually more focused on trying to make sure the like vibe of my character, like the essence of my character, is correct, and I'm worse at remembering.
This shit's not real.
specific yeah. thing.
Yeah, that was me whispering, hey, Michael, remember she has to get away from the town to do Theonite talking.
Like, no, David, I didn't remember that at all.
Shut up.
I like vaguely remember, and like, I think I should leave, but I didn't really know why, though.
That's funny.
It's like, yeah, I remember when we left before. I don't remember why.
Yeah, everyone listening, when you hear it, there's a lot of static. That's why.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's such an interesting thing creating this type of show with buddies, and for the most part, all of us have our full-time jobs, and so it's a double world type of thing where you can start to accidentally compare yourself to other things, other shows and things like that. But then, you know, once you kind of take a second, realize how our particular machine works together, it's like, okay, now I feel good. Mm-hmm. We have this, we have that. And obviously my dream is to earn 100% or 100 times more money and then throw as much money at David, maybe mm-hmm. get Mr. Red in here, mm-hmm. maybe like have like a producer to like in her ear to be like, the United doesn't work that way or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, oh man, like it would be ideal to have a producer, like thinking of the things that like to have a producer so not like the editor, like someone who's like there. Like, yeah. I understand why big podcasts have that.
And as we said, we don't want to give David too much.
No, it's fine.
He'll keep saying yes until.
But it is that thing of like in the future, if we made more money, it would be dope to have a producer.
Yeah. Once we get over the crumbling infrastructure that is our lives,
yeah,
and then you know have a little bit of spending money, and then split
having an editor feels so luxurious. It's like we haven't even like reached the like having a producer level.
Yeah,
David's already made it very clear that he's not going to say no to us. Yeah. So it's up to us to manage David and make sure that he's not burning himself out, because clearly he's just unwilling to do it himself.
Yeah. I don't think he'll burn himself out, but like we said before, I'm afraid of him having too much power. Memeless Misha asks, you know how Michael said he thought once the first campaign was going to have a darker tone? Has any of that hypothetical first game's ideas made it all the way to the new one 10 years later?
Go 10 years later!
They're saying 10 years later hypothetically. We're young.
I think we talked about managing gold for like a minute, and then we're like,
"What happened?
I'm going to do it. We're doing it."
Chuck is—he's a dad. He's got a fanny pack full of gold.
The first gold that came up was an asterisk because it was like, "Are we touching that? That's not safe." So that's why I didn't add it to my thing,
right? And also, I guess you guys really would have to kind of leave town if you wanted to care about that stuff, right? Like, if for that stuff to matter,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah. So it's currently less of a thing.
I want it to matter. Without slowing down.
Like, if you're not going to be hungry, you know, when you go to bed or whatever. Like,
but also, D&D 5e exists very strangely, and there's almost nothing to spend above 1,000 gold until you get to 50,000 gold. So it gets very confusing.
What's 50,000 gold?
Magic items, castles.
Castles, you know.
Castles and shit.
Drawbridges. Carriages.
Harems. A blimp. Does Adam Pence asks, does Skin Kyle have cool hair, and will he join the band? Wink. Also, any hilarious predictions on how Chuck figures out Drop Bear's identity?
The fact that Chuck is still like, this is a hero.
This is a different guy.
It's so funny. Because Celine knows, just again to be clear, and it's just like, I'm not saying shit. This is not my business.
I love, yeah, that is one of my favorite running bits.
It's very funny.
And I hope it never, ever ends.
Yeah. For sure.
What should Skin Kyle, I mean, I would love it if Skin and Kyle hung around a little bit. I'm going to practice my French accent before next time. It might go fully French, not just French Canadian. We'll have to see.
You have to like watch something that's got people with French accents. I was listening
to The Boys. Just be Frenchy.
Yeah, just, oh my god, you should just be Frenchy, honestly.
That's true. Well, then there's also Shorzy. There's all those French Canadians. They're constantly
speaking.
Gotta
watch Shorzy. You haven't watched it yet.
Very good.
I know I was for a while listening to multiple Australian true crime podcasts to the extent that I was like, I could do an Australian accent. And then I'm like, what am I talking about? Of course I can't. I've gotten better. I can do a kind of like bad Cockney now. In like a bad, like, Ratma kind of, like, whatever you call that accent.
Yeah.
It's not good, but I can kind of do it. I'm less, like, terrified of doing accents than I used to be.
I remember, like, an early episode where, like, do a pirate accent.
I'm like,
and
you're
like,
no.
No. That's Jennifer, the thing. It's so nice to see how you've grown.
I really have grown. I've gotten a lot better at, like, doing things on the spot, for sure.
Yeah.
Because that was very scary when I first started.
Anthony W. asks, this is for the, this is to the in general cast, but what's been the hardest part about switching your characters this campaign from last campaign? And for Thrifty, the changes in this campaign versus the last campaign that keeps fresh while still playing off of history. The hardest part, I mean, you know, we got some other questions too about the whole difference between going from level 20 to level 1. So thank you for people that asked that. So I'm going to kind of combine all of those. The easiest is that I accidentally had manual HP.
That's right. Why are you so weak? What is happening?
Chuck had the flu for most of.
Chuck had long COVID.
Yeah, for several weeks of my playing, but now he's fine. Yeah, on D&D Beyond, I must have manually rolled his HP, or it just got toggled on accident. So every time I leveled up, I wouldn't get any extra HP, and I thought it was just because I switched from like janky ass homebrew to Mordenkainen's Multiverse of Madness.
I guess that's the breaks.
I'm level 19. I got 20 hit points. Not a big deal. Whatever.
What are you gonna do? Literally everything one shot.
It is like it's so dumb because like obviously you know going on like I am level 1. This is the lowest level you can be. But still it's like oh my god I died. How
yeah,
did this happen?
Yeah.
And just like. It just like adjusting to a new type of character. Yeah. Like sorcerers are interesting because they don't have a ton of spell slots. Like
right.
Early on, especially. So like finding that balance of like, okay. Like, but like honestly, like cantrips rule though. So like that's been really fun to just like shoot them out. It's like this doesn't count against anything. I can do whatever. They're just like slightly less powerful. But like I feel like I have enjoyed playing like a purely magic character. I've been wanting to do a magic character for a while, so that's been like I like not having to like deal with like a weapon or whatever. Like no, shoot magic, that's it.
Yeah.
So Michael, was it tough for you dealing with such squishy characters at the beginning?
Yeah, they were all pretty squishy, right?
Yeah, so definitely some of those battles were definitely most of those battles were definitely harder than I intended to be.
Even before I had broken
camera. But also at the end of every one, I would be like, yeah, that was pretty good. Yes. So I've been like, yeah, we'll leave it a little bit harder.
Part of it's not just because we're level 1, but it's half of the crew can't use their entire kit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so, because it's a unique situation.
So, like, I was thinking about
plot-wise.
It, and I was like, oh, well, obviously it's been interesting not being able to, you know, use as many resources. Like, I don't have as many spell slots. I don't have as many of this. But it's also, like, it doesn't come up that much because I'm not allowed to cast spells.
Right,
so, in a weird and fun way that has made it not as big of a deal. And now that we're level 4, you know, have a little bit more wiggle room. So it's kind of funny how our characters are both growing in ability and growing in ability to, you know, break the rules, so to speak. But
yeah, like also definitely, I mean, part of my goal is to like try to get you guys to break the law.
Yeah, of course.
Do you hear this?
Like, he's trying to be a stupid.
He always sends like monsters after our characters, and we're just trying to chill.
I'm just trying to survive.
200 episodes of us just vibing.
But no, I think it's just always like when you start a new character, it just like takes a while to like get like to have a good handle on like what's their deal.
Yeah.
Because you can have like a whole idea of a character in your head, but then once you start playing them, it comes out different. So
yeah, especially I imagine the environment and the players that are with you help influence that. Like
absolutely.
I'm going to do this, but then something, I don't know, ludicrous or something just totally different just helps drive it all, which is fascinating to watch.
Like, I think too, I think it's definitely that. It's the interacting with other folks' characters, but then it's also like knowing what you as a person can like RP. Because I feel like every time I ever try to like make a character that's like, oh, she's just like a bitch and she's like cool or whatever. It's like, well, that's I'm never going to be able to, like, that's not going to,
cool.
That's not going to happen. Like, really, like, it's like whatever I intend, like something of myself ends up coming out, which is why, like, I had like this idea of Celine being like haughty, like whatever. And it's like, no, she's a fucking dork because that's what I know how to play. Like, I've been having a very good time playing a bitchy girl boss, though. That's been very fun for me to be like, I'm going to manipulate you and like make up reasons for why what I'm doing is actually okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like it's getting a toxin out of me to be able to play it. This is who I would be in a worse situation.
I mean, we've always said that's the best part about playing any characters is taking the worst parts or whatever. And squeezing them on the paper. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to play like the Wrangler again. But then everyone in this campaign is a maniac.
and
fish out of waters and constantly trying to kill themselves by going in the woods and falling on rocks and stuff like that. So it's been really, really fun for me to see like how the expectation there has changed versus like what it exists in the game, and I'm having a lot of fun. Just, you know, I think it's really fun to not fill in the gaps before you get on, so you can be flexible and things like that.
For sure.
And I feel like, Tim, you love playing that kind of character. You love playing the character that's screaming at the other characters like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, I do, but I was like, I'll do something different this time.
Like, no, it's going to happen
again. Here we go.
But for different reasons,
Definitely, definitely.
What would happen if Tim went just full goblin mode and absolutely gave up?
I think about that sometimes, and I'm like, could Michael in the podcast handle it?
I just feel like that's not what brings you joy, though. I don't think you like playing really that. That's not like your vibe.
I like support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank Christ.
Someone's got to.
Dan Check asks, if your characters lived in the modern day world, what would their jobs be? Bartender, thank you.
Oh my God. Okay, what is like, I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is cop, but no, I think it'd be something like different than that, though. Like, I feel like she would like work at like a think tank or something.
You'd be like a TV cop or something like that.
No,
you'd be numbers.
She'd work for the fucking
IRS,
the Federalist Society. Maybe not that bad. Maybe she'd be a young Republican.
There you go.
she'd be the president, the secretary of the young Republicans.
She works with Paul Ryan. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, it's fine. She's on trial for January 6th. She turned on everyone.
Oh my God.
She's Cassidy Hutchinson.
We should steal that vibe.
We should, actually.
I'm gonna do Ratma. Ratma would be the first person to open up a recreational dispensary in New York and make $1 billion. That's what Ratma would do.
Yes! Oh my God, let me go to Ratma's dispensary. Hook me up.
Please.
So what would, well, okay, so I want to think about what Rourke and Screech would be doing.
Rourke would be some kind of influencer.
Yeah,
oh my God,
yeah, she'd be
so
a
true
TikTok influencer.
Yeah, just Chuck constantly baffled, like, so what? you show your socks and then dance and something? Okay.
I was listening to a QAnon Anonymous episode about TikTok recently, and they like went down a hole like the thread of TikTok that are trying to manifest things, and I feel like Rourke would be on that. Like, she's just like doing weird esoteric like manifesting.
Oh my, who's that scammer lady that's you know, the girl, she's a lady. She shows her boobs sometimes.
Caroline Calloway.
She'd be like a Caroline Calloway. It's like,
oh my God,
here's
guys,
my book, here's
guys,
my self-help
guys,
group.
Let me give you I'm going to give you a gift right now. If you do not know who Caroline Calloway is, you've got to look her up and see where
problematic
her,
queen.
She's C for crazy. she loves to be a scammer, and I do respect that.
I don't think Rourke would know she was scamming, but...
No, I think Rourke fully believes it.
Maybe Caroline Calloway doesn't know she's doing it either.
No, I think she does.
Okay.
I don't know what Screech would be. Would Screech be, like, financing Firefest or something?
Yeah, no, he would... Yeah, he would, of course, start off as just, like, old money, one of those, like, third son, fail son schlubs.
He is a venture capitalist.
I ran my dad's fucking used car.
Here's how to retire before you're 35. Get $5 million from your dad.
Yeah, he's a billionaire who's doing MMA now.
He
needs to feel something.
Oh, that's so good.
What would Chuck be doing? Did you say?
He bartended.
Oh, just a bartender. Oh.
Easy game.
Yeah, I, like, imagine, again, now I'm really giggling thinking about Celine having, like, a really annoying Twitter account, like, and, like, doing her little videos.
You would be a less shitty Tammy Lauren.
Yeah, yeah, like, a lot as bad, like, where, like, she'd have, like, a little, like, group of leftists that are like, I think we can get her out.
Right.
I think we can convince her.
Without the xenophobia and racism. And
it's more
and
just
so
like
forth.
just being a dummy that like I just been doing this.
DMRNG says we know that Screech isn't Hunter Biden.
That's right. That was confirmed.
Due to Screech having a 1-inch penis, 1-inch hard,
4 inches wide,
4-inch flaccid, I think is what his size is.
Okay, that was one of the funniest things we've ever done, honestly. I think about that sometimes and just laugh.
God, by the way, we gotta bring that up. David, got to put that in the recap next time.
All right, every single time going
just
forward.
Randomly just toss it in.
Okay, just to remind you, Screech is
very plot specific,
right,
everyone.
It's like just when hog. You're watching a prestige TV and they show something from like 3 seasons ago. That's coming up.
That's got to be important. That's got to be important.
His dick is going to be, his weird wide dick is going to come up. I think we have time for one more. Mackenzie Lockhart asks, how do you balance allowing players to choose the chaos option, i.e. Bachman, with keeping the story coherent and cogent?
I mean, there's no answer to that. I mean, sometimes it just isn't coherent and cogent. Sometimes David picks it. Sometimes, I don't know. We just do our best. We just try to make it make sense.
I feel like you're very good with the flow, though, Michael.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like you're like, when we do some like truly insane shit, and like, or like all in on it, you're like, okay, we're gonna do it.
Yeah, I want it to be as insane as possible. Yeah. I mean, that's what I want, is for you to do the most insane thing you can.
It feels like you are enabling us to do that in the best of ways.
So, yeah, because that's fun. Being crazy is fun, in my opinion.
That's so true. Well, thank you so much to everyone that wrote in. Apologies to folks that asked very good yet similar questions.
Yeah, we tried to just, you know, lump them together and answer the vibe of it.
Yeah, and weirdly, Michael doesn't want to give out huge spoilers for some reason.
I don't get it.
And many of them were very specific for characters and players not here. Which is totally fine.
So if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter at @DnDPodcast or @GeeklyInc, and we're also on Instagram at @GreetingsAdventurers. You can find me at @ThriftyNerd, and please check out my crafting streams on Patreon, patreon.com/thriftycrafts, or go to YouTube, youtube.com/thriftycrafting. We're all working together as a team to try to get up to 1,000 subscribers.
Michael, I heard your next big number, was it 666?
Yeah, we're at 625 right now.
Gotta get him to 666.
So can you guys get us to 666 before Dear Internet ruins it? Because those fuckers are coming for us.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Do it before then.
That's all I got.
You can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning. Listen to our Left Behind podcast, Tribulation Farce. Check out my Thursday at 2 p.m. stream where me and some buds play Dungeons & Dragons. You might have heard of it. It's super fun. Ooh. Throw it on your second monitor at work or when you're doing other things. Every single Thursday at 2 p.m. is a blast.
As Tim said, you should follow Tribulation Farce. I'm very proud of it. We're getting into shit in the book now. An explosion happened in the last chunk of chapters. It was very good. Mm. You can follow me on Twitter @JenniferCheek. And did you know that my friend Nika has at Nika underscore Hauer on Twitter and every other place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check out her link tree.
Yeah, look at her link tree.
Yeah, and my friend the Mike Bachman is on the Mike Bachman. Check out Game Crimes.
He's doing Game Crimes at all times.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to quickly say Naruto Revuto just hit a truly insane, stellar amount of really good episodes in Naruto. So check out where we are. They're really, really fucking good. It's a certain older brother of Sasuke.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Nice. Whoa. And you can find me on Twitter at Spudcam. And be sure to check out one of my favorite shows to edit, Greetings Adventurers podcast. Yeah. And then if you're a Patreon subscriber, we are almost done with season 4 of Tales from the Foaming Tanker.
Oh my God.
It's either going to be one or two more episodes. But guess what? You're not going to miss anything because season 5 has already begun. Ooh, we're recording it now. So we'll be releasing boom, boom, right into season 5 with a whole bunch of new.
Is it going to be good?
It's going to be great.
I only hear the best things about Tales. Like everyone who talks about Tales from the Foaming Tanker loves it. So
yeah.
Just saying, if you haven't gone on our Patreon, it's a good deal.
Good shit.
I've already got a couple of cast members for season, what are we doing now, Tim? Six. So yeah, when we get to 6, we'll be ready. So and I think everyone, you know, Jennifer.
I'm due for one, so we should talk after this.
Totally. There's a huge backlog of that, so you can hop on in and listen to all of those. That's free content that you're paying us for. You might as well just give us a tip and then get free shit.
Yeah. Please, come on.
If we make you happy, you can give us $5. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're getting close to 40 episodes so far.
Holy shit. Jesus.
Foaming Tanker.
Yeah.
So.
David does an amazing job of that, so you should.
Tales from the Foaming Tanker alone, it makes our Patreon worth it, but then there's like a bunch of shit on there. We've been doing this for so long. There's so much stuff. And like, I, as a person who rips through podcasts, you want this. You need that content.
David, I know I don't want to belabor or beat a dead horse here, but can you just tell us who's in the current Tales from the Foaming Tanker campaign? And
The one that's going right now, we have Nika Hauer.
Love her.
Kieran Bennett from New Zealand. We have
New Zealand.
Both folks from Taverns and Caverns. Oh. Ryan and Felicia are in it.
I love it.
And it is a very unique adventure. It's really, really fun. And
I saw art from it that made me think the aliens are real.
I gotta listen.
Yeah, okay. It's crazy, guys. There's wacky stuff in there. Okay, now we're done.
Damn.
Yeah. Also, I started releasing some original music on Patreon, so you can actually get a lot of songs there, too. And some of them are quite cool and good. So
they very much are. We've mentioned it before, but a lot of the music you hear, David did it.
Just, like, made it.
So a lot of that stuff is on Patreon, and you can check it out.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, heck. Gosh, everybody, I guess until next week. Keep it dicey.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
stop and export.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.